When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
By the way, if you Google a Janelle Monáe video, make sure kids are not around and do not do that at work.
Oh, my goodness.
This public service message brought to you by Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Hey, Freddie.
Yes, sir.
What about you? You wasn't on the show. What's your celebrity crush?
Oh, goodness. To this day, it's still Thelma from Good Times. Still to this day. Bernadette Stannis.
Yeah, she
still
was,
to this day. Close second, Pam Grier. Still to this day.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
all
a great
them,
one.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
All them, Pam Grier, all them.
Believe me. Thelma. Yeah, that's still my celebrity crush to this day. But like I said, that Janelle Monáe video, do not open that video at work. I'm telling you. Like we said.
I hadn't seen it, but.
Ooh. Yeah. Man,
I'm sure you could be sending it to me.
I've seen it.
Alan Yates probably has it on a constant loop.
Hey, Key, I got a strong social media team. Give me about 5 minutes. Hold on.
Alan Yates has had that on a constant loop since Thursday when that song dropped. He's not fronting on a soul.
I got the lipstick now. Don't get it confused.
See, already, that's how we get in trouble.
Celebrity crushes.
What is that? The name of her album is called The Age of Pleasure.
The Age of Pleasure. Exactly. Like J. Will just said.
They came out with this celebrity crush, and you say, oh, yeah, I like her. And then it's all of a sudden, what are you doing? What do you mean?
Oh, you got that from Honey Bunch?
Oh, no, they ain't going to never. They know how I get down, so they're not even going to trip on me.
Okay.
I'm going to be honest about if they look cute, they look cute. I mean, that doesn't mean I want to be like Jake said. It doesn't mean I'm trying to get at them.
Exactly.
I'm out the game.
Exactly.
I'm already signed to deliver.
They're going to have me up there like the playmaker. Keep going. The chicken. Look.
Yeah, when you out the, you out the game. You just
stay out the game.
You just see what's around. Like going to a Laker game. Going to a Laker game is like going to live in Miami. It's like a club. You know, it really is.
When it comes to celebrities there?
They get to dress it up. It's like, man, you're at a basketball game. What are you doing?
They go there to be seen, and they know they're going to be seen, and they're going to be on those screens. They know exactly what
they're doing. Yeah, Miami Heat and the Lakers will be very – see, obviously the Lakers I need in. I want in. I need in.
Sure. I get it.
Boston I'll accept because it's a
Celtics,
nice
– Lakers.
Yeah, it's a nice story. They get a 17. We got 17. We can get 18. Tatum. I mean, I get that. But the Miami one is just it's a sexier storyline, right? LeBron going back to Miami for the first time in the championship.
Yeah.
They obviously played against them in the bubble, but that's totally different. Now you got the whole celebrity-driven lifestyle in Miami versus the whole celebrity-driven lifestyle in Los Angeles. Pat Riley, Lakers. I mean, it's just a whole – story behind it. That's one of the main reasons I want to see it. On top of, it's good basketball, and we'll probably beat them.
Well, Jay, well, real quick, because you got,
see, Freddie.
Yeah, go ahead,
Freddie. I'm gonna tell all my Denver affiliates, clip that, clip what Keith just said right there.
Yep. Make that work.
And just keep running that on Denver radio all day long.
Like, why? What did I say? I didn't even mention Denver.
That's why.
That's my point.
That's his point.
Why. That's you're pegging the Lakers in the championship game against either the Celtics or Miami. And
why wouldn't I?
Well,
I could be biased with my opinion. I don't have to, you know.
You're allowed to, but that's been a theme of what's been happening to Denver the whole year. People have just been like, well, okay, they're cute and all, but, you know, like that's been the thing.
Man, Denver can play, man.
The Western Conference Finals to me, like if you're asking me which finals am I more excited about, it's definitely the Western Conference. Now, I appreciate Jimmy Butler, and I think Miami's going to make it a dogfight as well.
Yeah.
And look, who knows with Miami, man? They can end up winning it too, even though I would highly favor the Boston Celtics. But watching Joel and watching AD and Nikola Jokic go back and forth, watching LeBron go with Aaron Gordon, watching KCP guard the likes of Caruso, seeing vice versa how they defend, just those storylines too. KCP used to playing for the Los Angeles Lakers.
Right.
Bruce Brown, who can get up under their skin. Like, there's a lot there to unpack with that series.
For my money, by the way, Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, Freddie coming in for Max Kellerman on ESPN Radio and ESPNU. Lakers never, to me, is going seven. That's what I think about this series. I could see the Celtics beating the Heat in five because I still wonder if the Heat will be able to play like that against a team that will be able to score back like the Boston Celtics will be able to. When it comes to the Lakers and the Denver Nuggets, that has all the makings, guys, of every game being 110, 105, 121, 118, and going to seven games. Because for my money, Denver's been the best team in the playoffs so far. I know what the Lakers have done. I know Miami's been able to do in the Boston Celtics. But they have been able to live up to the hype that people didn't think they were going to live up to when it comes to Denver. And now you get a chance to go to a place you've never been. The NBA Finals and the Lakers are standing in your way. To me, Key and Jay Will, that is all that makes it a seven-game series.
Beat me up, Jay, real quick here, okay? Because I'm going to ask you this question, and maybe you think I'm stupid, dumb, or one of, or even both. Who has Denver really played? They played an undermanned Phoenix team, right? They got all sorts of issues. In fact, the coach just got fired. And before that, they played Minnesota. Come on, man.
Well, we know what the narrative, Key, would sound like if they struggled with both of those teams. We know what that narrative would have sounded like.
Yeah, but they didn't struggle with them. Yeah. They took care of them.
So why should they be punished because of who they quote-unquote didn't play?
I'm not saying they should be punished. I'm just saying if they have a good team that's better than the teams that they face in Minnesota as well as
Phoenix,
you know.
So are you saying that the Lakers are more battle tested throughout these playoffs?
The Lakers are a better team than both of those teams. They are more battle tested. You brought it up, I didn't. And they got LeBron damn James. Okay?
Understood. I mean, but wait a second. The Lakers have a legit shot to win this whole thing.
They do.
Like, I think everybody recognizes that. I don't think anybody's saying that the Lakers don't have a shot.
It's the tone on the delivery, though.
From who?
No,
from
both of us? I think it's
– No, really,
I think it's the disrespect that comes Denver's way that is –
There's no disrespect. How is it disrespect? Because
you're the most disrespectful Denver guy.
Disrespectful?
What are you talking about?
I'm not disrespectful. I just don't believe in the Nuggets. I don't believe in the – And he's going to go for 50 and 18, and he's got a passing assist, and he's a big, he can shoot from the three. I don't believe in all that. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but Key, like, you use
I'm not on the court, first
like
of all.
It's boring. It doesn't look right. Like, the style doesn't really get to me. Like, it's
not
those are disrespectful things to say.
The dude like, is way 9 more feet than, like, tall at the rim, man. He doesn't even jump.
AD's taller than Jokic.
Yeah, but at least he jumps.
He should make it harder for Jokic just doing it.
Wow. Look, he already there.
But like, those are the kind of lazy things. Like, you know what I mean? That's what drives Denver fans crazy. It drives them crazy.
Well, maybe that's
like,
part of my plan.
There may not be a better
one-man
offense in the league other than Steph.
Look at the rebound. That come on, man.
That guy could play for me any day of the week.
It's called boxing somebody out with your lower body, man.
Oh, you really going up against a 6'4" guard? Okay, that really is impressive.
Okay, I'm just trying. So look, a lot of players play above the waist. Some players play. Well, never mind.
Never mind. Yeah, never mind. I know where you were going.
Hey,
right.
Yo,
you stopped that quickly
me out there. Y'all ain't gonna
but,
catch
but
me.
But in all seriousness, though,
you know what I mean.
This is a challenge. This is going to be a challenge for Denver. That's
it's gonna be a challenge for the Lakers too.
It's gonna be a challenge for the Lakers too.
I'm not saying it isn't, but the cruise control of just rolling to the Western Conference Final, it stops tomorrow night.
Okay,
it does. I believe Anthony Davis can get the better of him on both ends of the floor.
All right,
I understand that, and I do believe when you talk about the defensive side for Denver, who's Porter going? What they gonna do there? Who you putting Porter on?
Well, if you mean the Lakers? Well, who the Lakers putting on Porter if he's getting going from the 3-point line? LeBron can't do it like he used to anymore, and they don't have anybody that kind of height that can do that.
I think in these moments and situations, he digs deep as always and comes out of his bag with a lot of tricks. We just saw it in game six where other games we sitting there scratching our head. We watched LeBron look like 1,000 years old in Memphis. Not the next game. He said that. He said, no, I can't. I'm not going to allow this to happen. And guess what, Freddie? He changed. We saw what he did in game six. He wasn't going to allow his team to go to Golden State for game seven. And he knew, if I go back to Golden State, I'm going to might as well just go home.
Well, Kate, you're going against Aaron Gordon, who is one of the, you know, one of the most athletic dudes in the league, similar to Wiggins, but, I mean, at 6'8", that's going to be one heck of a matchup for Bron.
I mean,
those body frames are very, very similar. He ain't going to be able to overpower Aaron Gordon all the time. So, I mean, it is going to be a chess match. And then the battle of the bigs, I mean, look, I would try to involve Jokic in as many ball screens as possible and keep the game at a fast pace. But that's not also how the Lakers play. This game's going to be one in the trenches, man. It's going to be a street fight between these two. So who can withstand that is going to be the question. And also, like, you know, what do the additional players do? Like, what Alex Caruso, the KCPs, the Bruce Browns, you know, all these guys, it's going to be one heck of a series, man. I'm really excited for this series. This is what Denver's been asking for the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a Laker team that is playing their best basketball.
Jay, you know, Caruso left the Lakers. You mean Reeves?
Oh, I said
Austin Reeves,
Yeah, Reeves.
I understand. We always got one.
Caruso whether plays for the Bulls. Yeah, we got
whether it it's the machine, whether it's Caruso, we always got
you
one.
You always got one?
We always got one.
Yeah. Austin Reeves, sorry.
Austin Reeves. Yeah. I just wanted to, you know, you're talking
fast. Way to clean
fast,
that up, Coach.
Yeah.
Way to clean that up, Coach.
Hey, you got to listen, you know.
How about if you listen,
I was hearing.
And not hear me.
By the way, the same four teams playing the conference finals are the same four teams that played in the conference finals when the bubble happened in 2020.
Pat just got in my ear and said we all look alike.
Oh, here, are we back on that again?
Come on, officer.
Come on, officer.
Pat.
Pull over.
We all look alike.
Oh, my God.
Well, when you play for the Lakers and you're a shooter, I mean, that's just the way it is.
Apparently, Michael Cooper never played for the Lakers all that time, too. Who knew? We go back in the NBA. And when does Ja Morant become a liability for the Memphis Grizzlies? We'll ask a former executive about that.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
It is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, Freddie Coleman in for Max Kellerman. Thanks for joining us on ESPN Radio, as well as the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPNU. It's time to play a little futures game, and so many futures to talk about on and off the basketball court in the NBA. Let's bring in Bobby Marks. Does a great job as an ESPN NBA front office insider, also a former executive for the Brooklyn Nets. Hit him on Twitter, at BobbyMarks42. Bobby, another incident involving guns and Ja Morant off the basketball court, of course. What do you think the NBA's response is going to be based on the latest involving the Memphis Grizzlies superstar?
Oh, I think it's going to be, you know, certainly if that's the video and it's after him already meeting with the league and recent, I think it's going to be substantial. I mean, what is substantial? Is it 25? Is it 30 games? I think that's probably what it that's the neighborhood we are looking at here. I mean, it's, you know, they met with him. You know, he went through the process. You know, if you're the league, you're probably looking at it as a sign of disrespect, or, you know, that he doesn't get it. I mean, if he didn't get it, that he lost $40 million last week by not being named All-NBA, I don't know when he's going to get it here. And is it having him sit out for 25, 30 games to start the season? I don't know, but I think it will be. If that's what the league direction is, I think it's going to be substantial here.
Bobby, I would agree. That's what I said. I thought, 25 to 30 games would be the right suspension mark for him. I also would state that I think him going to some kind of rehabilitation facility for an extended period of time until the league deems him properly evaluated to come back and play. I just say that because the way the situation was handled the first time, Bobby, where it's like, oh, yeah, I went down to Florida. I did some records for 4 days. I don't have any problems. Like, to me, that is denial, right? That is just, I'm just going to do it for smoke and mirrors and just to save face. And because we all knew, like, they were trying to have him come back and play playoff basketball. But now that this has reared its head again, I think, okay, we want to see you properly address it. And we all know that therapy doesn't happen just in 4 days to address some real issues while you're dealing with, problems around, fame and issues like that.
No, you're 100% right. I mean, you have to hit rock bottom, right? I mean, you have to hit rock. I don't know if this is rock bottom for Ja Morant. And you're right. I mean, I felt like everything that happened in March and April, it was rushed. It was almost like, he'll go down to Florida and he'll be back by the time the playoffs started. And everyone kind of gave him, the benefit of the doubt, and nobody's going to give him the benefit of the doubt right now. So, we'll see. I mean, the offseason's a challenge, right? I mean, you're basically kind of on your own and you're policing yourself. Team's not there to do so. And we'll see what the next, the next recourse is going to be.
Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider, former Brooklyn Nets executive, joining us on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Bobby, if this were the Nets at the time that you were running the team, how would you handle the Ja situation?
Well, I mean, how I would handle it is that, first, I don't know if I would have let it get to this point. But that's the problem here, is that it's just gotten to the point where it's like, it's like the soda's out of the can here. I don't know how you can put it back in here. And, same with the Dylan Brooks situation, which is certainly different here. I just don't know if I would have ever, whether it been appeasing his friends, appeasing his family. It's crazy too, Keith, because his background coming out of college, his background was good. I mean, there were like no red flags as far as, when teams did their research on him, and it just kind of everything has manifested here, and it's snowballed. I don't know if you're going to be able to kind of, as I said, unless the player hits rock bottom. I think handle some, one league or maybe the second year or even everything that happened this year, then you're probably dealing with it head on instead of waiting for the league to kind of jump in.
Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Freddie Coleman today filling in for Max Kellerman. Bobby, where is the responsibility on the front office here, right? Because even with the report, the way things happened with Dylan Brooks, I've heard, their ability to address it before. How does the front office handle this properly? Because this is your superstar. This is the future of your organization. What is that delicate line being balanced between being very firm and strict while also trying to create a loving and fostering environment to say, hey, this is the future for you here. This is how we do take care of our own.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's a balancing act. I mean, he's not even in year one of this 5 year, this 5 year contract. You've basically built this roster around him. He's the face of your franchise. He's everywhere. As this roster goes, you have to have basically Ja Morant as your main guy. So yeah, I mean, there's the discipline part of it, but then there's the, certainly the team part of it as far as, how, how you handle it. I think the interesting thing is that, what happens now with the rest of the roster here, because the likelihood is that you are going to probably use Tyus Jones as your trade bait to upgrade your small forward spot, and now you can't do that. So there is a, you know, there is a long-term picture, certainly with Morant on his team, and then there's a short-term picture and how this roster all of a sudden, you know, gets better here. And I think from that perspective, you're in a holding pattern. But yeah, I mean, you're not going to kick the player out to the curb here. But I mean, this is, you know, I guess strike two. Maybe it's even strike three or strike four based on what we've seen in the last year.
What team that needs to win a championship next year has the most work to do in the offseason? Is it Philadelphia, Bobby, or is it Golden State?
I would even put Phoenix up there.
Okay.
You know, certainly Phoenix is going to, you know, we're going to talk about them a lot here with a new coach. The Philly is going to be interesting because, listen, the trend we've seen in the last month is that, you know, the coach is probably going to be let go. And I don't have inside information on that, but we saw it with Phoenix, with Monty Williams, we saw it with Mike Budenholzer, Nick Nurse, you know, guys that, you know, we were in a knee-jerk reaction here, and it's basically if you can't get to a conference finals in 3 years or win a championship, you're going to be, you know, they're going to be looking for a different direction. For Philly, you know, it's basically, what do you do with James Harden, right? Like, are you comfortable paying him, you know, $35, $40 million, or do you let him walk and basically it's Embiid and Tyrese Maxey as your two main guys, and you look to maybe move Tobias Harris? You know, I thought, you know, certainly Boston, I thought Boston was the more talented team, realistically. I was stunned that Philadelphia was up 3-2, but they were up 3-2, and they had a chance to end the game in Philly on Thursday night, and they blew a golden opportunity, and they let go of the rope yesterday. I mean, that's the realistically, they let go of the rope, and they quit in the third quarter when things got really bad. So, I mean, we could put all three of those teams up there. Golden State's a little bit different just because there's going to be a decision with, you know, Draymond, which I would think he'll be back, but the Jordan Poole, you know, as far as do you move him to kind of, you know, bring back, you know, some depth here. There's less work in Golden State. It's more costly, certainly. Right. But I think, you know, Phoenix, based on building out their bench, what happens with eight, and then, of course, what we saw yesterday with Philadelphia.
Great stuff by Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider. Hit him on Twitter at BobbyMarks42. Always gracious with this time joining us here in Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio and ESPNU. Thanks a lot, Bobby. Appreciate you, my man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
All right,
it.
Bobby.
You got it.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
It is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. You got Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, my man Freddie Coleman, in for Max Kellerman, presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio. Don't forget about us on the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Tune in and also tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. Before we get into Monty Williams being fired by the Phoenix Suns and not being out of a job sooner than later, Jesse wants to weigh in about the head coaching firings in Houston and Houston at 888-ESPN. Jesse, what you got?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Good morning.
Good morning.
This question really goes about not just in Houston, but overall, why does the NBA recycle coaches that were not successful to go someplace else? Why do they bring in an assistant or someone brand new to have a whole different look? Because personally, I'm a Lakers fan. But I think Steve Kerr, I think he's going to be out of there in Golden State. And also Doc, I think Doc already got the moving truck at his house. So
wow.
I'm just saying, what do you think? Why do they always recycle coaches that were not successful here or there? Why don't they just think of something totally different and bring in somebody new that's got a whole different look up on how to run the team?
But it all depends on how you define success. If it just depends, because it's only two teams that's going to the championship every single year. So when you look at coaches in sports in general that have some success, sometimes it just the right place gets you over the hump. you know a guy is a great coach given the circumstances and how far he's taken a team. A guy like Jay Will, for instance, could go and coach college or the NBA if he put his hat in the ring. Doesn't mean that he's going to go to the NBA Finals immediately. He may take a doormat team and get them to a certain position. People would deem Mike Brown an unsuccessful NBA coach, but now look what he did in Sacramento.
I think it also depends upon where that team is at that particular juncture. Yes. Like if you're talking about like Charlotte, that's very different than talking about the 76ers, right? So a lot of times people say, well, just bring in an assistant coach. You know how hard it is to manage strong personalities? It takes somebody who has a strong personality or somebody who's had experiences, you know, with other strong person. That's why you hear Nick Nurse's name, right? Because Nick Nurse, for that 1 year, his play calling offensively is incredible. His schemes are incredible. But also, he had to learn how to manage Kawhi Leonard and pair that with a Pascal Siakam and with other players. So there's a lot to be said about that in that experience, ultimately.
Darwin Ham takes over a Laker team that has veteran experience as a first-time head coach who's been on the block as an assistant coach and as a player. All the circumstances are different. They're totally different. Luke Walton coming to coach the Lakers, that's like, nah, because that team wasn't a veteran team that was a championship-caliber team, so he couldn't do the same things with them as he could do with a championship-caliber team.
And because of Darvin Ham's success, a guy like Phil Handy, for example, an assistant, may get a longer look because what he's been able to do, and Phil Handy's been a guy that many people talked about for more than a minute about being an NBA head coach. And, Jade, something you said about personalities, not so much big personalities, more than ever before, just handling personalities, period, because somebody may think their personality is enough that they're contributing to that basketball team. And that was something that Monty Williams, I thought, did extraordinarily well because when you have a Chris Paul, the Kevin Durant for a short time, even with a Devin Booker who has an ego, not an ego, but enough an ego, you're handling so many different personalities. It wasn't his fault that the new owner came in and wanted a new voice because more often than not, in those situations, Jay, when you come in, you want your own people that you feel comfortable with. He never wanted to get comfortable, in my opinion, with Monty Williams because he wanted to bring somebody else in to make the Phoenix Suns better, more of a championship team.
Freddie, I was slightly pushed back on you for that.
Okay.
I think that is one of the reasons why he is being let go. Hearing things around Phoenix about the relationship that he had with CP3 and how that worked with D Book and how he lost DeAndre Ayton and Jay Crowder because Jay Crowder was the one guy that would get DeAndre Ayton on the same page. And, you know, then that dynamic shifting with bringing in Kevin Durant and a lot of questions with CP3 being out. Like, this to me is that this is a sign that the franchise is handing the keys to Devin Booker fully right now. Like, I think you're going to see this franchise moving forward with the ball in his hands a ton, with them playing at faster speed, with surrounding him with some different pieces. And I think you're going to see Devin Booker really choose with KD kind of looming as help and advice on who is the right coach for the style of basketball that he wants to play and that can hold him accountable. I think Monty, you know, could hold CP3 and others accountable, but I think it all starts now around D Book and what he wants moving forward.
Okay.
All right. That's good. I mean, when it comes to that pushback, not going to argue that point with you.
Just telling you what I heard.
That.
You know
that's
what
fine.
You hear.
That you've heard a lot more. That was just me voicing the opinion in terms
Go
of
Go ahead.
Mike
I want to hear some argument. Never mind.
No, we're not going to argue about that because he has more intel than I do. We're not going to give you what you want, Keyshawn, as far as that goes. But when it comes to Monty Williams.
I got enough arguing in my life that'll last me a lifetime. Trust me.
You
but see, Fred, I still think Monty Williams could be a great coach at NBA.
I completely agree with that.
He'd still be a great coach. I think that time and all the moving pieces with injuries, like that kind of ran its course. But it doesn't mean that he couldn't be a great head coach for another franchise.
Maybe he goes to a Charlotte or maybe he goes to a Toronto or something like that and becomes a better head coach. I mean, it happens, man. I mean, that's just the reality of it is these guys that continue to get the opportunities to coach again just because it failed in some people's eyes at the destination that they departed from doesn't mean that overall they can't become successful head coaches.
Look at Mike Budenholzer because in Atlanta it didn't end well. Then he goes to Milwaukee and they win an NBA championship. And 2 years after that, they moved on from Mike Budenholzer. So, Key and to Jay, to your point, it's what have you done for me lately in that situation? Milwaukee felt they ran its course with Mike Budenholzer. Phoenix believed that with Monty Williams. Toronto completely believed that with Nick Nurse. And at a certain point, those guys have proven that they can coach and win championships, Jay, as coaches, which make them not just recycled head coaches, but appealing because they've been able to win at that highest level and take their team to the promised land and have a chance to have a team win that championship.
Would you take a look, Jay, at Phoenix called?
Would I take a look at Phoenix called?
Yeah, would you take a look at Phoenix called?
I'm serious.
I'm not joking. I'm serious.
No, Why not? Because I don't think Phoenix would be a great opportunity. I don't think I would have enough experience for any team to win a championship off the bat with the pressure that Phoenix is going to have on them. But when I hear players say things like, "Well, you know, that's not really up to me," I'm like, when it comes to head coach, I'm like, stop lying, man. It is up to you. You can defer and you can put it on, you know, management. Right. But management wants to listen to you. So, like, I say little things like there are little tidbits that get dropped here, Freddie. Like, if Devin Booker wanted Monty Williams to be the head coach there, with all the conversations looming around CP3 being waived, them looking to trade DeAndre Ayton, don't you think he would be the head coach there?
Oh, Devin Booker can do whatever he wants to. They're not listen to him.
So that's a sign of what's about to come. Like, that's what people need to look at those things when those things occur.
Unless his personality is such that he just don't want to deal with it, he don't want to be involved in it. He's like, I don't want no parts of that. Maybe that's Devin Booker's
Coach Bud with Giannis. Mm-hmm. When Giannis is like, I would have loved if I had the opportunity to guard Jimmy Butler, but it's not my game plan. Like, there's a lot of stuff, man. You just read into it, you see what's happening. Oh, regardless of how things get spun.
You always drop breadcrumbs on the ground when you want to send a message, and people will pick it up and run with it. And without you actually, you know, voicing your opinion strongly, you just, like you said, hey, man, I just do what the coach tells me to do.
Yeah.
Why is it the coach telling you to do something different? I just do what he tells me, whatever that is.
Yeah, I like him, but I don't like him in, like that anymore. There's a lot of that going on. More than ever before in the NBA, and maybe depending on some NFL teams as well, especially the quarterback has that kind of stroke with that organization. It is Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, Freddie coming in for Max Kellerman on ESPN Radio, as well as ESPNU. What is next for another head coach in the NBA that many people believe could also be on his way out?
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Who said James Harden returning to the Houston Rockets could be a real possibility?
What?
Exactly. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. You got Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, Freddie Coleman, in for Max Kellerman, presented by Progressive Insurance. Go ahead.
Freddie, yes, before we get into James Harden, can I pose to you guys something that I feel like you're gonna hear this conversation first here, but trust me, it's already looming and percolating.
All right.
If you look at the Memphis Grizzlies record without Ja Morant, they've won a lot of games.
Yeah, they haven't been scrubs.
Combine that with some of the stuff that's happening off the court. Now, I'm not saying that Memphis is a better franchise without their star player.
Right.
But you can make the case that they have played really good basketball without their star player and won the games at a high clip over the last couple of years. And if these type of issues keep coming up, you're going to hear people start talking about conversations with ownership. Do we want to keep putting in all of being all in on Ja Morant when he's not really all in on us? And it's going to lead to some of those conversations percolating around will this team be better off without Ja Morant moving forward in their franchise future?
Yeah, he'd be great for
I'm just
trying
to tell you.
We'll take care of him. We'll get him right mentally and everything.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people would take him, but you're going to – I'm hearing from people that I know that these are some of the conversations that now mm-hmm. – I'm not saying it's going to happen, but they're actually starting to think about, like, all right, moving forward, how does this work? Like, is he going to become mature enough to actually lead our franchise? Here's our record without him. We won a lot of games. Tyus Jones, you just heard Bobby Marks say, was on the trade market to try to get them a wing. We talk about them always missing like a Jaylen Brown or a Pascal Siakam, like a veteran presence in the wing, in the locker room. But if you're saying, all right, Tyus Jones is a good leader, Jaren Jackson, a good leader, those conversations are going to start happening.
So, Jay, should we add Ja to the list of people you're sending to the Knicks?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
No. James Dolan will never sign off on that. Believe me.
Nope.
James Dolan never sign off on that guy.
So you're saying Harden to the Rockets, Ja to the Sixers. Got it. Let's do it.
I don't think that's what Jay Williams is saying.
Do it, Jay.
That's what I heard.
Jay, you scared. Do it,
Wait
Jay.
Wait a minute. I don't think that's what we heard.
Yeah,
Jay,
you heard him say that too.
Jay will. Jay will.
See, I mean, Freddie,
heard,
see what happens.
We heard Keith talking about the Lakers and that whole deal, but all of a sudden, we had like a 6 degrees of Ja Morant trade separation here.
I was just saying we could take him and we could bless him out here. We're going to clean him up, get his mind right. See what I'm saying? Yeah. All them homeboys and all that, we're going to get him a check and we're going to tell him, go on, man. Y'all going about your business, man. We're getting ready to help this kid out and get him right.
What
I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but the only one who's going to get Ja Morant right is Ja Morant.
Well, you that's
can,
true, too.
You can have Mother Teresa around him, but if he can't save himself, then there's nothing that anybody can say or do that's going to do that, no matter where he goes. Or where you want him to go. That's what this comes down to. I mean, the whole James Harden deal, I mean, Wojan get up this morning and said that him going back to Houston is a real possibility because the Rockets have upwards of $60 million in cap space and they believe Harden is thinking about that. That's a whole money thing. More than ever before, Jay, and also Key, the only one that has any kind of say-so on what they're going to do are the players themselves, more than ever before in the NBA, whether James Harden goes to Houston or Ja Morant trying to fix himself.
Why would you go back to Houston?
I have
Houston's,
no idea.
Houston has no opportunity, right?
And I have
right,
no
as
idea.
It stands right now, Jay, yeah. they're not a playoff team, right? They're not a championship team. So why would you do that? Are you just giving up on a championship and saying, you know what, man, I'm tired of chasing the ring. I'm just gonna go get my money and live my life and go back to Houston where my businesses are and they welcome me with open arms in Houston. Is that where his mind is at?
Going from Embiid to Sagoon is insane, Jay. That's an insane thing to do.
I mean, I kept hearing people talk like that was a reality, and I was like, nah, I can't see that. Not at this stage of his career. He already left Brooklyn, which seemed like a mess, you know, and he got to Philly where he's playing with Joel Embiid. You guys are compatible. You've won a lot of games at a high clip. You're not that far away. You don't go back to – where you had problems before. Like, I get, but he got love for a city. Maybe that's it. Like, I don't know. Is this what you want from players, though? Don't you want loyalty? You know, do you want them to go back to the teams that they originally were at?
Sure,
like,
but it doesn't make sense.
I can do that later, though. I ain't got to do that right now.
You don't have to do it, but I don't know.
I'll do that when I'm on my way out the door.
Yeah, especially if you're James Harden, where whatever you think about him, it's not a strong reputation when it comes to delivering in clutch situations or being the guy that can be a missing piece to a championship.
I got to say this, though.
Okay.
You know, we define reputation or we define legacy by, like, winning at all costs. There is a part of me that, like, yo, if James wants to go back to Houston, if that's what he wants his legacy to be, I mean, he's one of the most innovative players the game of basketball has ever seen. There's always going to be the caveat about him not winning it when it matters the most. But if that's what he wants his legacy to be, then so be it. Cheers to James if that's what he wants. If it's about the money, I mean, we're also talking about a guy who changed his lifestyle for his family. I'm not saying it's right like the way we would do it, but everybody has their own definition of what they want their legacy to be.
If that's what he wants to do,
right,
and go back and live his life and he's tired of chasing the ring, there's nothing wrong with that. If that's what he wants to do.
Right, the key words there. He wants to do.
If he wants to do it, as they say, if you like it, I love it.
The thing with that, by the Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, Freddie coming in for Max Kellerman on ESPN Radio, He's been steadfast, gentlemen, in saying that how much he believes he can be a piece of a championship contender or be that link to a championship contender. So if he's changed his mind, no one should criticize him for that. But if that's the way you still feel about that, then going to Houston to me makes absolutely no sense if you think you can be a championship piece or part of a championship contender or a championship team.
Yeah, that's
all.
What
I'm saying.
Yeah, if you want to be a champion, you're not going to Houston. That's for damn sure.
I don't know what to say on that one.
Yeah.
That still throws me off, you know?
Harden in Houston? Absolutely.
In Houston because he forced his way out.
Yeah.
Anyway. And now that same organization is just going to accept you back in after you forced your way out?
Yeah, and you scorched the earth when you did that, when it came to James Harden. Mm-hmm. Anyway, all right, predictions. I know Keyshawn's going to take the Lakers over the Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. How many games?
You don't know what I'm going to do. How you know that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just got the planet Earth today, right?
You do look kind of Martian-y. Yeah.
Hey, easy now. Easy now. But I know you're picking the Lakers. They're your team.
Absolutely.
You're taking the Nuggets. I'm not crazy.
No, why would I do that? That's boring basketball.
Right. In six games or five games or what?
I'd say six.
All right. Jay Will, what about you?
I got to think this one through. I'm going to wait until tomorrow.
Listening, Jay. What? Be careful.
I know. I got to think this one through. A lot of business on the line with Spring Hill right now, so I got to think this one through.
You talking about James Harden doing it for the money? I applaud that.
I'm thinking legacy here.
Yeah.
I'm thinking legacy.
You pick the Nuggets, it's Church's Chicken you messing with.
Oh, God.
Not Popeye's.
Hey, no, don't you put – no. Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm. We're at least Bojangles now.
Mm-mm.
Don't put Church's
Yoke
Chicken.
Yokic is like Church's Chicken, man. Oh, it's very boring. You can eat it. It's good.
Yeah.
But it's very boring.
Extra hot sauce for me, please.
Extra hot sauce on it and jalapenos and everything else.
He may be bringing that extra hot sauce based on this conversation as far as that goes. You guys have a good one. We'll do it again soon. Probably right, Friday.
I'll be tomorrow.
I won't be here tomorrow.
Vacation's over, Key.
Greeter with Mike Greenberg comes your way next. This has been KJM and the Mighty ESPN Damn. Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.